We live in a fast-paced and hectic world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control. How do you manage all the competing pressures without losing sense of yourself? How do you stay focused enough to not only plot a path, but follow it? Welcome to Master Your Life, a show that offers inspiration, insight, and intelligence, as well as success stories from many walks of life that can show you how you can control your own destiny. Our knowledgeable and entertaining host and her guests give practical advice that you can use every day in the quest to master your life. Now, here's your host, Leah Mattinson.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's show. I'm host Leah Mattinson, and thank you from wherever it is that you are on this beautiful planet joining us today for this wonderful episode. If you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, please come over to the masteryourlife.ca website where you can watch the video version. And not only will you see me and my sunny disposition, but also my wonderful guest, Dr. Ralph LaGuardia. Dr. LaGuardia, welcome to today's show.
Thank you, Leah.
So Dr. LaGuardia spent over three decades researching alternative ways of treating and preventing diseases of all types. He has been in private practice in Connecticut for more than 30 years. During that time, he has learned what alternative and natural remedies work and which are snake oil. And you should tune into the video version so you can see how youthful he looks. Because it's like three decades. What? Come on. Can't be true. Especially in that in a medical profession. You must be practicing what you preach, Dr. LaGuardia.
I try.
You do. That's wonderful. Dr. LaGuardia has read hundreds of books and thousands of research articles on alternative ways of treating different diseases and has a huge personal library, including many out-of-print books. He is well-known in the medical underground of pioneering integrative medical practitioners. Integrative medicine is the highly effective combination of traditional and alternative medicine. He has authored the Doomsday Book of Medicine, widely considered to be the best book on medical prepping. He has also written the book, The Bible of Alternative Medicine. His most recent book is Infected, Secrets from the Medical Underground. He lives on an organic farm with his beautiful, lovely wife, Lynn, and their two dogs and four horses. When not practicing medicine or writing, Dr. LaGuardia spends most of his time in his orchards or inside his geodisc dome greenhouse, experimenting with growing and propagating edible fruits of all kinds. And serving it up today to this beautiful audience, Dr. Ralph LaGuardia, welcome to the show today.
Thank you.
So let's talk about how did you get into doing this alternative medicine? What happened in your life that you went?
Well, my mother, who was a high school dropout, but was self-educated and a very inquisitive and a very intelligent woman, she started reading a prevention magazine when I was a little kid, you know, and so she got heavily into it and heavily into organic foods and things of that nature in the 60s when no one else was doing it. Right. You know, her only mistake was she embraced a margarine at the time they were pushing it. but other than that, she was on the money for everything else. And then when I went to medical school, I just thought that that would be a large part of the education. When I was in college first, I read Linus Pauling's book on vitamin C and cancer. I was blown away. And I just thought when I got to medical school, this would be the type of things they would be teaching us. I went to school in Italy. And so I went to college in the United States. And I went to medical school in Italy. And even there, even though it was a much, in my opinion, a much more holistic approach to medicine, this we had some nutritional stuff. It wasn't as much as I expected. So then I assumed, okay, it'll be in my residency. I'll teach us then. And right. There, it was completely rejected. Every time I brought it up, I was just, you know, you hear crickets in the room. No one even considered what I was saying. So I just assumed because I was a lowly intern or a resident, no one was listening to me. But I soon realized that it just was not part of the mindset.
Right. And so how did you keep going in medical school then? Because that is discouraging when you think it's going to be.
Yeah. Well, learning. You know, as corny as it sounds, I've been a doctor for 35 years now, 36 years. I love my job. And I absolutely love being a doctor. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't want to get out of bed in the morning. But once I'm at the office, I love it. Mm-hmm. And so and I always felt it was kind of my calling to be a healer and to do that. And so what happened, once I was in practice, I started exploring, well, my whole adult life, I was reading books on alternative medicine. And then I went into gardening, and I bought an organic farm. And well, it wasn't organic. I started it. And that got me into the other end of medicine. And then I started combining the two. And over the years, I developed my own methods of, you know, of realizing what works and what doesn't work. You know, certainly in alternative medicine, there's lots of snake oil and crazy stuff, you know. And just like traditional medicine, there's lots of things that are just nuts and that don't work very well. You know, Alzheimer medications, for example, never work. And we push them. It's a $1 billion industry. I've never seen one even have a smidgen of effect on anyone.
Right. You know? Yeah, we just did a really, I did a recent interview with Dr. Howard Rankin about the recent Alzheimer's study that was, you know, kind of the basis of all the Alzheimer's research that actually was fraudulent. So it does really pay. I love this, the prevention aspect or perspective that your mom brought in really early on. Yeah. That's indicative of my mom was that also. We had Prevention Magazine and she worked at it. Right. So that's working at it though, that's part of it. So there was some intelligence there. Going, this is we can create wellness within ourselves if we try to do that. So, where did you or how have you blended that allopathic medicine and the alternative medicine? Like, because you were like a pioneer in this, from my perspective, anyway. Were very many people blending?
No, in fact, I'm still one of the few guys around in Connecticut that do it. Steve Snoucher, who's a integrative cardiologist, is pretty famous. He's in the area. He's since retired, but I'm basically alone. And my wife always laughs. We go to these medical meetings, and I'll get up and give my perspective on things. And like she always says, "Honey, why do you bother?" They always say, I get the same response. That's very interesting. And they go on to the next thing. They usually don't know what I'm talking about, or you know, it's frustrating. But you know, I feel like I have to give them that perspective. And you know, and so I keep pushing it. And there's lots of blowback. I mean, there's lots of, you know, with COVID and stuff, there was a lot of blowback against it.
Mm-hmm. So you're trying to live out the Hippocratic Oath.
Exactly. I want what's best for my patients. That's all I care about. Yeah. I don't care about anything else. I care about, you know, how well they do. And, you know, we live in an area, it's probably lower middle class area. It's a farming community out here, although it has the University of Connecticut in town. So there's kind of a mix of everything. From Chinese graduate students to Yankee farmers. Right. And patients, you know, are, I'd say probably half of them embrace it. The other half just aren't interested in it, you know, but I ease them into it. The little things like Epsom sulfates and vitamin C and zinc and different things. And slowly but surely I bring them around.
Right. So getting a little traction, a little foothold. So how is it that you've been able to maintain going to meeting after meeting, decade after decade, and meeting such resistance? Maybe a better question is, while you've been doing that, and then when COVID hit, what happened?
When COVID hit, I immediately didn't buy it. From the very beginning, I was a skeptic. I thought, this just doesn't add up. You know, what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing and what I'm reading, it just seems to me like the flu. And so I had known from previous experience, I've not had a flu shot ever in my adult life. And I'm exposed to the flu all day, every day. But I soon realized that it was a vitamin D deficiency more than anything. And so I started dosing myself and my patients with high dose vitamin C, which has proven to be about 8 times more effective than the flu shot. And it works against all respiratory viruses. And so, but just like most things, those people that come in, even the people that come in, new patients, and tell me they know everything about vitamins, and I'm always very happy to hear that, but invariably they don't, because they'll do certain things. For example, no one seems to know that almost all vitamins are fat soluble, meaning they dissolve in fat and you don't absorb them. The only two vitamins that are water soluble are B's and C. All the rest, if you don't take them with a fatty meal, they go right through. And that was my argument initially when COVID came out. The powers that be came down on me because I was not vaccinated. And initially I had a problem because one of the ER docs reported me because a 20-year-old patient, I advised her not to get the vaccine. And so they called me in and they said, well, obviously this is probably a mistake. I said, no, it's true. And they said, Wendy, it's true. You advise a 20-year-old not to get a vaccine? I said, yeah, you're right. I said, first of all, she had COVID already. Second of all, she's trying to get pregnant. She was pregnant at the time. She was pregnant. And I said, why would I give a pregnant woman, even if she didn't have COVID, and a 20-year-old, a vaccine that they don't need? I mean, clearly, all the mortality with COVID is age-related, as well as layered over with comorbidities. She had no comorbidities. She was at no risk, like most young people. And they said, well, just to be safe. I said, I don't think that's safe. I said, do you have any studies showing that vaccination in pregnant women is safe? And they, once again, there was nothing, you know, crickets. And so we had a meeting, and then I brought up some other sacrilegious things for them. I said, well, I put her on high-dose vitamin C, zinc, selenium, a few other things. I told them what I did. And they said, oh, vitamin D. They said, vitamin D doesn't work. And I said, well, what makes you say it doesn't work? And they cited a bunch of studies. And I said, well, you know, in fact, I've read every one of those studies. I said, and they have one thing in common. And they said, what is that? I said, they ignored the basic fact about vitamin D is that it's fat soluble. They didn't mention it in not one study. So they were randomly giving vitamin D to patients and hoping for good results. I said, so that skewered the results in my eyes. And then I named orthomolecular medicine sites and some other sites that they could go to, and they just shut me down. So it was, I just basically decided to ignore them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, not everyone has to agree, right? That's right. Where you're right. Allowed to have your own opinion. So that's good hot tip for everybody who's been taking vitamin D and maybe not seeing the results you thought you'd see from it, to take it with a fatty meal of some kind or a fatty something, like a nut.
Right.
A nut,
well,
no vitamin D.
Well, I tell patients, you know, a lot of them say, well, what's a fatty food? And I say, do you like olive oil? And they say, yeah. And I say, put olive oil on a salad. Any oil at room temperature, the fat at room temperature, and so you help absorb it that way.
Right. Well, that's easy then, right?
Yeah, right.
Almost every kitchen's got it. That's his lessons from Italy.
That's right. That's right.
If you're not sure, put it in olive oil. So with vitamin C, would you recommend that people actually do the, like the actual liquid form of vitamin C, or do you take a tablet?
Well, you know, it depends. There's all different types. They even have liposomal vitamin C now, which is fat soluble. And yeah. So I tell patients all the time, it depends on a lot that they could afford. You know, I tell them, fine, just do regular ascorbic acid. It's fine if you can't afford it. But it's, or if they're developing, the only side effect from vitamin C is diarrhea from bowel intolerance. Too high a dose sometimes induces diarrhea. And so I tell them either back off to the lower dose, or if that's a problem for you, take the liposomal form, which doesn't have gastric, you know, GI irritation, I should say, not gastric.
Right. So are these the secrets that are in one of your books, either the allopathic medicine book or the infected secrets of the medical underground? Like, where are people going to be able to find this kind of information if they pick up one of your books?
Yeah. It's in all three of the books, but in infected, I really go into it because there, what I do is I give each section of the body, the, you know, ears, nose, and throat, lungs, stomach, GI, skin, and I tell you how it's infected and how the body's resistance works in that area and what you can do is augment that and to prevent infections. So I go through the entire body. And so you can use it as a handbook if you're coming down with, you think of a urinary tract infection or, you know, a vaginal yeast infection or anything of that type, or a respiratory tract infection, what to do to A, prevent it if you don't have it right now, or B, if you have it, what to do to get rid of it. And, you know, I try to explain to people that, you know, infections are only a consequence of your immunity. That's why when there's an infection in the area, like flu going through an area, 100% of the people never get it because of certain people have good immune systems or immunity to it. And so that's my whole premise and I argued that with the powers that be, but to no avail. I said, you guys are all offense. There's no defense here. Why don't you just give people things to prevent COVID if you're so worried about it? Instead of vaccinating them and hitting them with dysnivir and all this really toxic stuff, why not just boost their immune system, which has nothing but beneficial side effects to it, you know, and it's cheap and ubiquitous. Patients can find it everywhere. They don't need a prescription for it, and they can do it themselves.
Right. Yeah. So it's a perfect remedy, but it was certainly not being purported out or reported out by anybody. So now we have a bunch of people with weakened immune systems. Would you say that that's the case after the last 2 years of shenanigans? For what reasons are people's immune systems not up to maybe where they were prior to 2020?
Well, it's multifactorial. People's immune systems aren't good overall. And I think part of it is I try it in all my books is to teach patients to mimic nature. For example, sunlight. You know, dermatologists will tell you sunlight is the evil. It's the worst thing in the world for you. And it's absolutely not true. Sunlight is essential for your health and has so many beneficial side effects. And they always say, whoa, melanoma. It's just not true. If sunlight caused melanoma, then you would have construction workers would have a higher rate than office workers, and they don't.
Right.
It's being burnt is what gives you melanoma, not being exposed to the sun. And I always tell patients, look at the old pictures from the old days from New England, for example, which was populated initially by Northern Europeans for the most part, English, Irish, German, Scandinavian, Polish, and they were all farmers there. And if you look at the old photos of them, they were deeply tanned. You never heard about melanoma and all these skin things that would have killed them if that was the case, because they were out, they went with the seasons. As the days got longer, they were exposed longer, and their skin wasn't burnt. It was just deeply tanned from that. And so consequently now, as you know, kids stay indoors. We were kids, we played outdoors all day. Mm-hmm. They stay indoors. And then when they go out, their mothers slather them with sunblock and stuff, the absolute worst thing. And so almost all my patients of color, and ironically, all my very fair-skinned patients are in the same boat. They have very low vitamin D levels. Mm-hmm. And that ultimately will have very long-term ramifications for the health of these people, because not only are the osteoporosis and the lack of vitamin D to absorb calcium and to build bones, but also vitamin D is more like a hormone than a vitamin. It's kind of misnamed. It has so many beneficial side effects for mental health, for cardiac health, for immune system. And so that, and I think the combination of poor diets, people eating depleted foods and processed foods, and this horrible farming that we've had since World War II, I don't know, I imagine Canada is similar to the United States, where, just NPK they're putting back in the soil, which is nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, but they're ignoring all the minerals and trace elements. And those are really key for your health. Your blood has all the same minerals and trace elements as seawater. Because as we evolve from the sea, we naturally retain that. But everything in your body is there for a purpose. God didn't put anything in there just by chance, randomly. It's all there for a purpose. And I believe that people are suffering the consequences of missing all these minerals and trace elements. Iodine deficiency is rampant. I mean, we started iodizing salt years ago to do that. Then people went on low salt diets. As the soils get more and more depleted, iodine is key for your immune system. There's a guy named Jorge Flechas, a physician who's done a lot of research on iodine. It's fascinating, his stuff. He was saying that he's found that if women during pregnancy supplement with iodine, it raises the IQ of the fetus, of the fetus, 20 points on average.
So is it too late for us?
No. Yeah, you and me, for you and me it is, but have a bath in it.
No.
but we know that because iodine deficiency leads to cretinism. Children born with small brains and retarded and don't live long. But do obstetricians give iodine during pregnancy? No. Mm-hmm. They don't do any of that stuff. It's crazy.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So I think the last time I saw iodine probably was like in a bottle that you would put the iodine like on a cut.
Yeah, right. Well, because iodine kills everything. We still use it in the hospitals. It kills bacteria, viruses, and fungus, everything. Nothing can live in the presence of iodine. It kills it all. And your body uses it. Every cell in your body has iodine receptors. So it's key not only for your thyroid, but for a lot of other organs. For example, polycystic ovaries, breast cysts, iodine deficiency. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't see that stuff in Japan, which has a 22 times higher intake than we do of iodine from eating seafood and stuff and sushi and different things like that. It's high in iodine. Breast cancer is almost non-existent there. And then fibrocystic breast, you don't see there. You don't see ovarian cysts there. And so I always tell patients, just we'll supplement with iodine. Why not? It has no side effects.
Right. You know, and is there a best form of iodine?
There's various forms. There's nascent iodine, which is a liquid, which is a nice form to take. It's easy, kind of expensive. But, you know, for treating infections and stuff, I use betadine. And it's cheap and easy to get. You know, your prescription works very well. And you can, the best way to supplement iodine is kelp. Mm-hmm. Kelp is seaweed, and you can get kelp capsules and supplement iodine that way. Kelp also has all the amino acids you need, all the essential amino acids. So it's perfect and provides your body with it's a great food for you and very cheap.
Right. And so the kelp isn't, is that farmed kelp or is that kelp that's just naturally occurring in the ocean? But is it not affected by radiation or any of the other things that we see that we've been told are in the ocean?
Yeah. Well, there's giant kelp forests in the ocean. Mm-hmm. There, a lot of them are dying off because, just like you said, from pollution coming into the water and stuff. But a lot of the places go to pristine areas and they try to get the kelp there. And it's, overall, it's still pretty good and doesn't have, they test it for, it doesn't have any toxins in it, so it's good. But the benefits of it are ubiquitous. Mm-hmm. And so it's great to have. I mean, I tell people to take it all the time, especially pregnant women. There you're getting all the amino acids and you're getting iodine. What more can you ask for?
What about krill oil? Do you think, is krill oil better or any different than any of the other fish oils?
I don't think it's that much different. I think they're all beneficial. You know, all fish oil is beneficial. And mm-hmm. you know, that's, for example, for mental health. Mm-hmm. I personally think that, I see these young patients, I'm blown away how many of them have anxiety and depression and are bipolar. It is an epidemic among 20 to 35-year-olds.
Yeah,
I just can't believe it. I didn't know anyone that had those problems when we were young. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a consequence of toxins in the environment, poor diets, and a really lack of fats in their diet. I mean, fats have been demonized for the last 30 years, mm-hmm. and fats are great for you. You know, they've come around, that whole cholesterol thing was bogus. Mm-hmm. And, that those key studies that were done in the 50s, I believe there was 27 countries that got rid of 20 of them because they didn't match his data. Just took the last seven to tell you how bad cholesterol was. But the brain is all fatty acids. Mm-hmm. To have a healthy brain, you need fatty acids. So it's best to supplement with fish oil and all of the fat-soluble vitamins, A, D, E, and K, which all help your brain, in addition to which minerals and trace elements. So that's why I put patients on all the time. And when I was saying earlier about Alzheimer's patients, mm-hmm. I have much more success giving them monthly B12 shots than any of the medications that they have. Even when their B12 levels are normal, it helps them. And so a lot of them come in asking for it because the families notice that it helps them.
Right. So does it improve their symptoms, the B12 shots? Or just
sometimes a little bit, but it seems to arrest the deterioration.
Ah, okay.
And so, a lot of times by the time I get them, hopefully it's just starting so I can stop it where it is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always work. I tell them to take B complex as well and magnesium. All of those are essential for brain health.
Right. Let's talk about magnesium. Is there a deficiency in magnesium as well?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Magnesium, and in the young population, and what does it cause? Like, what does that?
Magnesium is required for 300 different enzymes in the body. Mm-hmm. It's key. I mean, magnesium is unbelievable. I get into it a lot in my books. I have whole chapters on it. And magnesium depletion is huge as well, because most of the magnesium we get is from chlorophyll in our diets. Because it's interesting, I always love this fact from medical school. Hemoglobin, which carries our oxygen in our blood, the central molecule in hemoglobin is iron. The exact same molecule with magnesium in the center is chlorophyll. Hmm. And so it's like the plant's blood and our blood. But it's key for you. And most people don't eat a lot of dark green leafy vegetables at all. Their diets are processed or heavily laden with meats. and other things in them. So they're missing a lot of magnesium there as well. And so when I check though magnesium, I don't check just serum magnesium. I check red blood cell magnesium. And I want to know what's going on intracellularly. That's where it's most important. And then I give them magnesium for that. But, you know, there's various ways you can take magnesium. You know, you can apply magnesium oil to you. You can take soak in Epsom salt baths. Epsom salt is magnesium sulfate, and it works great for all kinds of injuries because it's, you know, the magnesium soothes ligaments, nerves. And so patients always resist in the beginning because it sounds like an old wives thing. You know, doc, really? Epsom salt? I go, listen, they do it. And then they come back, and, oh, my God, I can't believe that worked great. You know? But you have to be careful when you exit the bathtub. You have to stay in there a half hour. That's all it takes, magnesium to crush your skin. And it has to be in the hottest water you can stand. That opens up and makes it easier. But when you go get out of the bathtub, since it's relaxing everything, it relaxes your muscles as well. And you're kind of like Gumby when you get out of the bathtub. I tell them, hold on when you get out. You know, but it works great.
Can we talk about the other extreme of cold therapy, cold water, cold baths, cold therapy? Because I see that being, you know, widely promoted. And I've experimented with a little bit myself, but I don't have much tolerance for cold. I live in Canada, in a place where it's cold a lot anyway. It's not that bad. We have nice weather too.
I don't do anything with cold therapy. Just one of the things I don't use at all.
Okay. Interesting.
Other than ice packs and stuff like that. You know,
right. You know. Just take swelling down or whatever. Yeah. But you're not doing it for any extreme healing modality. You're using all these other more gentle, more welcoming, I would say.
Right.
modalities.
Hard to get people to take an ice water bath. You have to be pretty convincing to get them to do that.
That's right. Yes. And it's not that comfortable. So I like the no pain, no pain approach that you're kind of talking about. So, you know, doing these little changes that can do a lot of change at the cellular level to heal things up without there having to be big interventions. So it's kind of little things all the way along, little drips of, you know, olive oil, you know, good iodine, good vitamin C, good vitamin D, how you take these things. Does the time of day matter when you take these things?
Well, certain things. I'm a big proponent of melatonin. I'm actually getting more and more into melatonin. And that's, I usually almost always get that at bedtime because of fatigue associated with it. Although, interestingly enough, if you go higher up, the fatigue doesn't amplify it. You know, 20 milligrams of melatonin gives you the same sedating effect as 5, but it has better effects on your mitochondria. It's great for your mitochondria, and it's great for your health overall. And it turns out to help boost the immune system as well. And a lot of integrative physicians were using higher dose melatonin to treat COVID as part of the protocol.
Oh, so if you're having good sleeps, though, already, is that something that you should take just to build the mitochondria, or is it something that you could just leave out and take in the case of having trying to deal with a sleep issue or sleep disruption issue?
I would do it either way.
Okay.
Because melatonin, if you look at studies, melatonin goes down with age. And so it's beneficial for you overall. And mitochondria are key to your health and your energy development. A lot of patients, ironically, you give melatonin, it helps them sleep, but it also helps their energy because of supercharging the mitochondria.
Yes, and good, juicy, big mitochondria is an awesome thing to have. Go back to your grade 10 biology, my friends.
That's right.
Yes, it's true. It is true. And so with the upgrading of people at a cellular level, do you actually talk with clients about that in your practice, or do you talk about that in your book? Do you get right down to the base biology and really explain to people what they're doing?
Yeah, and in the books I do, not so much in practice because of time constraints and different things like that. I give a lot of handouts, but I'm mobbed with patients who just for a second need help. And, you know, a lot of them just don't have a doctor that will listen to them. You don't know how many times I refer people to specialists, and I say, well, what do you think? They go, the guy never examined him. He stayed on his laptop. He barely looked up. I hear that over and over again. You know, I'm an old-fashioned country doctor. You know, I put my hands on you. I talk to them. I kiss the old ladies. I break every rule of, you know, just
hugging.
Yeah, hugging. They come
all the bad stuff.
All bad stuff. You know, all the stuff you're not supposed to do. And why? I don't get it. Why can't we do that? Why can't I hug an old lady? That makes them feel so great. And everyone feels better about it. And plus, I like to touch patients as I'm talking to them, put my hand on their shoulder and make a physical connection with them and talk to them and reassure them about things. And I like to have to go in, tell them what their problem is, tell them what my plan is, and have closure. And they'll always, oh, doc, don't worry about it. If this doesn't work, we go other ways. I said, but let's try this first. And, you know, reassuring them goes a long way.
Right. Oh, yes. A million miles. That's the best medicine ever. Right. Touch therapy, one of the most powerful ever. And the human connection. Yes, right. Very, very powerful.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet your patients absolutely love you.
I like to think so.
That's, yeah, I bet they do. I bet they do. And so how many of them have actually picked up your book? Or do you give your book to them and say, hey, read chapter this, and it'll give you some more insight about
I do that a lot. A lot of them buy it themselves and give gifts to friends and stuff. You know, they come in and ask me to sign it for them and stuff. But yeah, the book is good because I can say, oh, okay, go to chapter six, read this.
Right.
You know, do this, and, you know, and then come back to me in a month and we'll talk about it. Because I'm a big proponent of educating patients. I think you educate them, it helps them understand what's going on, and we work as a team together to heal them.
Right. And so what would you say are a couple of the biggest maybe surprises along the journey of your learning how to deal with people with their health concerns, like things that you now 35 or 36 years later go, wow, I didn't see that coming, or I wouldn't have known that that would be the case sitting here now.
The mental health thing I was talking about earlier, that really has evolved into a huge problem. When I first started practicing in the 80s, you know, there was certainly people with depression and bipolar people and people with ADHD, but not like now. There are so many people with mental health issues now that it actually depresses me sometimes. You know? I'm thinking, like, God, what has happened to you? Especially young people? You know, and like I said, I think it's multifactorial, but it worries me immensely because it just doesn't bode well overall for society.
Right. Yeah. We were talking in with a developmental neuroscience guy, a functional neurologist, on several episodes about the development of the brain and just how it does all the brainwashing over the past, you know, 30, 40, 50 years about how to get along. You know, so that you're not excluded from the group is really not serve people. So this whole gaming industry, staying in your basement, not connecting with humans, to your point of, you know, having clients or patients in your office and, you know, touching them. Lots of kids haven't, lots of young people haven't actually been outside their home for 2 years. And after that 2 years, it's like they didn't want to leave.
Right. I'm amazed at the number of young men, especially, who seem to have no sex drive.
Yes.
They're like, I can't believe it. You know, I go back to my 20s and I'm thinking, well, what is wrong with these kids? I mean, are you kidding me? You know, they just don't seem ambitious. They don't want to even get the driver's license. Some of them, they're 25. They're living in their parents' basement. They play video games all day. They have friends online and they have no real friends that they see in person. And it's just not good for their mental health. And consequently, they don't know how to interact that well with you. They're awkward in their interactions, even because they're not used to visual cues, and touching is out of the question for them, you know. They just, that blows them away. You know, and, you know, I pat them on the back and I squeeze their shoulder. Like, come on, man, you can do this. And they're uptight at first, and then it breaks the ice with them eventually. But you can see there's just lack of experience with it.
Right. And it scared them. So we've got this, they're scared of other people and scared of girls in particular. So I'm not sure what women are doing or girls are doing to create all that. Because it's on both sides of the equation, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so that whole, it is a big problem, because in terms of health, who you hang out with is one of the key indicators of satisfaction with life and longevity. You know, nutrition plans in the world. And
right. One of my greatest pleasures are my friends.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it just makes life so much more enjoyable. Good close family members and friends are what it's all about.
Right.
You know, and they're lacking that piece, and just it's so sad for them. You know, it's just a terrible thing. You wonder, their lives are so shallow.
Empty
is virtual lives, no real lives. Like the show people, you know, we're all watching these reality shows. Well, you know, I used to tell my son, you can live life, but you can watch someone else live life. I prefer to live it. You know, sit there and watch someone else's life. How boring is that? I mean, what kind of loser do you have to be that that's your whole entertainment?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've been sucked. You've been sucked down the rabbit hole of, and you know, it's I was laughing about it with this other guest because I said it's a cheaper life because all you have to do is pay for people to game. Like, because they're not driving cars. They're not getting in trouble, quote unquote. Right. You know, so the good citizen of today is the one who stays in their basement
And obeys. Well, yeah, but what kind of memories are you going to have? Mm-hmm. A good score in a video game? That's a memory for the last 10 years? I mean, come on. Because, you know, you didn't fall in love. You know, you didn't fall out of love. You didn't go through life and through relationships. That's all part of living. Mm-hmm. It's all part of your development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very important. And so for little ones also, the little peanuts that were going through 2020, 2021, there was lots of masking all over the place. And isolation from grandparents, et cetera, et cetera. So are you seeing people bringing kids into the practice now that are dealing with developmental problems? Or
I don't treat children.
Don't treat children.
Yeah, okay. I'm an internal medicine. However, I do know of it from the parents coming in and telling me about it. You know, these kids were already developmentally behind because of, like we spoke about earlier, the games and stuff. Then, they, you know, a four-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, what kind of visual cues do they have with a mask? You know, you can't. You know, they don't see you smiling. You know, it's nothing. Or online stuff rather than school. It was such an incredible disservice. These kids were at no risk, none, unless you had end-stage cystic fibrosis or you had asthma so bad that you were in the hospital every month. Not a kid who's using an inhaler before a soccer game. He's not at risk at all. I'm talking about end-stage kids who are just so bad that they die anyway. Those were the only kids at risk. They were at no risk for COVID. The guys didn't even know they have it. And they closed these schools. They did it for the teachers' unions. It had nothing to do with the kids. It made everyone else happy. It was easier for them to do things from at home than to sit in a classroom and deal with kids.
Yes. Yeah. And so that this is there things from your books that would help? I think it's like people waking up from a very big trauma. You know, and going, okay, well, we've really messed up our own lives, but we've also got these, you know, kids that are messed up or grandkids, children that are messed up.
Universal PTSD.
Yes.
I mean, it became like universal. The whole population, we've all been traumatized by this ridiculousness of COVID.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, and that's now the song, right? So that's the brainwashing. Well, now I have PTSD.
Now I
have PTSD. So it's like the new hot thing to have. But what would be the hotter thing to have would be to actually have natural immunity to all of these, you know, the brain stuff and I imagine, because it's mental health, right? Talk about in your books. Yeah. You talk about having the intuition or the smarts or the knowingness to figure out what's going on with you and to seek help where it is needed.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to have some self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't. I'm amazed how many people don't have any self-awareness. And they come in, and I look at them and I go, are you kidding me? This is not your problem. You're way off. You know, and I lay it out and it's this, mm-hmm. this, and this. And they look at you shocked until I treat it and they come back, oh, you know, you're right.
Right there. Yes. So have you read or seen any studies about what masking does to the hypothalamus? I'm just kidding.
Not particularly the hypothalamus, no. Okay. But I mean, overall, masking is a horror. It was just a horrible thing to perpetuate on children and adults. Mm-hmm. The mask didn't do anything. The only time Fauci ever told the truth was in the beginning when he said, "Well, masks don't work." And then he retracted. Now three masks we need. You know, the virus, the side, and I talked about it in the book. Alex Berenson did great books. I don't know if you know Alex Berenson. He did two or three books on COVID that were fabulous and just laid out all the statistics and stuff. And he says what I said from the very beginning. The virus is too small. It goes right through a mask. It's not ever meant to stop a virus. You know, the surgical mask will only stop to prevent spittle from the surgeon sneezing or coughing or something. It doesn't do anything else. Smoke goes right through those masks. You don't think a virus does? You know, it was absurd from the beginning. You know, same thing with the 6 foot. That was random. And, you know, all the other things that they made us go through for COVID were just a crime against mankind. And now the virus is genetic engineering. You're giving a virus with the biggest experiment in human history. You know, and consequently, what did the American Society of Life Insurance Companies, they came out a month or two ago, and they said they have a new syndrome, sudden adult death syndrome, SADS, appropriately named SADS, just like SIDS, but with adults. There's a 40% rise in unexplained death among adults. 40%. They said a 10% rise would be a black swan event, something that happens every 200 years. And yet they sit back and they say, we don't know why this is happening. How could you not know? I mean, what has changed in the last year?
Right.
It's just like athletes dropping dead. Between 1969 and 2020, 1,284 athletes dropped dead in all sports around the world, 50 years. In 2021, 794 died. In 2022, up to right about now, I think they're up to 1,300 died.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It's obvious something bad's going on.
Yeah, I was like, think about it, folks, because those are people who are supposed to be prized possessions of their countries and prized possessions of their communities, right?
And and world-class athletes. These are people in great physical condition. They're not couch potatoes.
Right.
You know,
they're not couch potatoes, and they're having heart attacks. You know, so it's real. People who've been longtime listeners to the show know that in like early 2020, we had lots of guests on that were talking about the Shenanigana Fest, as I like to call it. So it really is the people who are now, I guess, trying to help other family members to not be sick, you know, so because there's lots of family members who are sick, both from the physical problems, like the increased deaths, because that's a lot. And then you're dealing with the cost of funerals. There's just lots of things that obviously connect that you're going to have to deal with in your real life if you chose to go down that path. People dying early, people not being around to parent their families,
being allowed at the funerals in the game. My cousin Bobby died initially right away from COVID. He was 76 years old in good health, but he was septic by the time he went in the hospital. He was too far gone. He lived another month in the hospital before he passed away, but they didn't call me. He got sick and called the ambulance, went in the hospital, and he was beyond my reach. And he ultimately died there and died alone because they wouldn't allow anyone in the hospital. It was horrible. Just traumatic for his family. Just brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it didn't have to be.
Yeah, it's inhuman. I chose to move home to be with my parents towards the end of last year because my dad has this neurological illness called Huntington's disease. And he was, they were talking about putting him into some sort of care or help. And I said, if you guys leave your home, you're going to be locked away from each other and you're never going to see the family again. That's just not good enough. You know, we have people who live honorable lives and they're, ripped away from their families. I'm like, that's absolutely insane. But a lot of it we create ourselves because we haven't got the capacity to really understand just how willing the other side is to be completely inhuman.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you're human, you don't, or, you know, like mankind often doesn't have an idea of just how diabolical other people can be or not caring, right? So that, they don't care. And when they don't care, then you're family members end up being dead, and you keep going, how did that happen? How did three of them die? And none of us could be together. And then you've got all that grief work to do, you know, grandkids who haven't been around their grandparents. You know, so we've got multiple layers of things that either could tear us apart, which is also the plan, right? Is to try to tear us apart, try to discourage us.
Destroy the family.
Destroy the family. Yeah. Destroy the freedom of people.
Right. Yeah. And scare them.
And bully
them into getting the vaccine and bullying them into doing what you want them to do. Rather than, you know, even now with all the information out there, we know that the vaccines don't work. The vaccine, people who are vaccinated have worse outcomes than people who are unvaccinated. Natural immunity plays a big factor in helping you, and yet it's all ignored. Rand Paul would just, I don't know if you saw an interview with him with Fauci recently, he just destroyed him. He was laying out all those things. Well, how about natural immunity? And he showed a speech from Fauci from 15 years ago touting natural immunity, then you would never need a vaccine. He said, well, he goes, well, how is it different? He goes, how is it different? The immune system doesn't change.
Right.
And, you know, there's no way. Really? Like I said in the beginning, the virus, everyone said, oh, this is good. Each wave is going to be worse and worse. I said, baloney. It wasn't exactly what I said, but it was close to it. But yes. I said, I said, vaccines always want market share. A vaccine doesn't want to kill you. It has no interest in killing you. It wants you to spread it to a new host. And so viruses always mutate in one direction. Viruses always mutate to more contagious but less lethal. And that's exactly what we're seeing with every wave of COVID coming through. More contagious, more and more people getting it, but less lethal. Less and less people dying from it. And that's always the evolution of viruses. They've always gone that way. For example, MERS and SARS-1, when they first came out, was super deadly. They had 25 to 35% mortality rates. It didn't go anywhere. It didn't spread because people became so sick, they were in bed, and that was the end of it. They died from it, but they didn't give it to a new host. So they call the R factor spreading to another person very low, almost zero. And so, but what the virus wants is something like cytomegalovirus. You know, there are things that they have that he wind up spreading and not knowing it. You know, that's perfect. The virus goes through the population and gets it. And amazingly, a lot of our genes are viral genes. So now we're looking at it as this actually might be how evolution takes place. Evolution might be viruses are forcing evolution a lot more than mutations. It's more virus being incorporated into our genome, which we're looking at now. 25% of our genome is viral. It's amazing when you look at it. You know, so we know we've evolved and taken these leaps evolutionary-wise over the centuries or millennia for that very reason, because viruses help us reach the new level, perhaps. And that's what a holistic approach to the whole thing is coming forth now.
Right. Give us a little upgrade, right? The little upgrade by all these viruses passing through us and passing across surfaces gives our body a challenge to upgrade to. That's how I kind of view it as well. And sometimes it's a little bit more than maybe we can hack. So we need to take a couple of days off and have a sleep so that we can upgrade the system.
And if it's particularly fatal, the resistance to it will be incorporated genetically into the survivors, and now be passed on, so the virus no longer will be a threat to mankind. It goes that way, you know. But it's ignored. You know, basic science is ignored in favor of this craziness.
Right. And so for the 330 some odd thousand of you downloading this podcast, make sure that you share it so that we can replicate the people who know more information, because it's absolutely mind-boggling the amount of censorship that's going on about this information. And it is the difference between life and death, like really being able to help people out of mental health problems, physical health problems, and to give encouragement and hope where there really doesn't seem like there is any, because every time you turn the TV on, it's another thing about how another vaccine got passed, you know, oh, line your kids up. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, haven't we moved on to something else yet? It's incredible.
People are tired of it for the most part. Yeah. Very few people are getting boosters now, I find. You know, just a few of the true believers, but no one else.
Right. Yeah, yes. You know, yeah. That's right. So that's good. So I think that's a sign of healing, that less and less people are buying into the narrative. So where do your books fit in? They kind of segue into or dovetail into a person's life right now. And, you know, sort of last quarter of 2022, there's been lots of ravaging of people's health at all sort of ages and levels. How can somebody take your one, all of your books or one of your books and use it as a tool guide to help them to get back on track?
Yeah. All of my books are reference books. And I always kid my wife because my first book came out in 2015 and I think she's still on page 5.
Biggest fan, folks.
She goes, honey, it's not a novel. But anyway, they're not meant to be sit down and read. However, you know, they're meant to be handbooks. You can use them for a handbook for overall health. And many patients have read through the whole books. I kid around about that. But overall, they're great because, say, for example, you're coming down with a respiratory virus. And you already feel like, oh my God, I think I'm coming something. You can go right to that section and read about what to do to augment your health at that point. But overall, I'd prefer patients to use it to learn how to overall improve their health. Mm-hmm. I talk about things with the Gang of Seven that I use for COVID, for example. And my protocol went viral. It actually was very popular in Canada as well. But I wrote a protocol right at the beginning of the virus. And I said, here are the seven things you need. And there were zinc, iodine, selenium, quercetin, vitamins A, C, and D. And I talk about that as the Gang of Seven. Those are the things that if you take those every day, they'll boost your immune system and prevent the vast majority of the illnesses. And if you get something, it'll be very short-lived and not be problematic for you. And I used an example, for example, when hydroxychloroquine first came out with COVID. They, of course, hydroxychloroquine we used for years. We used it for lupus and for rheumatoid arthritis and everything. It worked great. There was no black box warning. There was no heart problems with it. All this nonsense they came out with later. But hydroxychloroquine, when they first studied it, they didn't do that well because they didn't give zinc with it. What hydroxychloroquine is an ionophore. It opens an ion channel into the cell. And so zinc has a positive charge, and so does the outside of the cell membrane. So it gets repelled. Unless there's a transport mechanism, it can't go across. And hydroxychloroquine acts as that transport mechanism. It's like a cloaking device. It takes the zinc and lets it go into the cell. Zinc is potent against every virus. It just kills all viruses. It doesn't kill them. It prevents them from replicating, which is good enough, you know, to get rid of it. So quercetin, which is a plant-based substance, bioflavonoid, does the same thing. And so I give quercetin with zinc and as part of my protocol, that works against all viruses and has no bad side effects, only beneficial side effects.
Right. That's a total win-win, right? It's a win-win. So we're out of time, Dr. LaGuardia. Thank you so much for that remedy. I hope everyone got that written down and make sure that you also pick up Dr. LaGuardia's books, The Doomsday Book of Medicine, The Bible of Alternative Medicine, and The Infected Secrets from the Medical Underground. He is showing it on the screen.
Yeah, they are.
That's creepy. No.
Had them right here.
And he has them right there. So make sure you're checking out the video. Oh, that is a nice looking book there. Yeah, all right. Yeah. And don't be afraid to give it to your friends and family as a gift. Thank you so much.
A shameless plug.
That's right. Well, you know what? We need to be, because I think that there's lots of people that are against this stuff. We really do have to be pushing it and promoting it as much as we can to get through people's cognitive misfunction or malfunction, brain fog, you know, also caused by this stuff. So all of you, again, thank you, Dr. Ralph LaGuardia, for being my guest, my gracious guest. Thank you. All right, everybody, love yourselves, love each other, mind your minds. That's all for us. Bye for now.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Master Your Life is a presentation of Leah Mattinson Enterprises, Inc. Join us next time on Master Your Life, helping you to discover the very best of you.